So let's start with the rapid fire round.
Yeah.
At what age do you want to retire?
45. That was a couple of years ago.
How long does it take you to get ready in the mornings?
3 minutes.
Most embarrassing moment of your life?
Too many.
Favorite color?
Blue.
What time of day are you most inspired?
Around 9:30.
How many hours of sleep can you survive on?
7.5.
Fill in the blank. An upcoming technology or marketing trend is blank.
I have no clue.
The city in which the best kiss of your life happened.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's, I can't disclose that.
Pass them.
It's not a pass, but I can't disclose it.
Pick one, Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk?
Elon.
The biggest mistake of your career?
Studying in an industry that is low margin industry.
How do you relax?
Kite surfing, sailing, snowboarding.
How many cups of coffee do you drink per day?
Too many, probably 5.
A habit of yours that you hate?
I have no patience.
The most valuable skill you've learned in life?
Valuable skill? It's a good question. Being edgy.
One word description of your leadership style?
Centered, edgy, innovative.
Edgy sounds like a repetitive word in this interview. Top priority in your daily schedule?
Doing something new, something fun.
Ideal vacation spot for relaxation?
Any kind of big wave.
Key factor for maintaining a work-life balance?
Relaxing on the weekends, taking the weekends off, having some good summers, and just getting some time off with family and friends.
Okay, so that was the end of the rapid fire round. Now we can go on to the longer questions, which you can answer with as much ease, thought, time,
yes,
as you like. The first one is, what inspired you to establish the WEF Global Lighthouse Network, and what impact do you hope it will have on global supply chains?
So the inspiration came from literally looking at the old days when Lean was invented. Everyone was traveling to Japan to understand what Toyota, Honda, others had done in terms of Lean manufacturing. And then they came back to their own factories and would kind of build their own production system and make it their very own. What we figured out with the fourth industrial revolution, there was nothing such as one place to travel to. So the inspiration was to create this platform where you would go to and find the best kind of supply chains of the world that have embraced technology to drive outsized impact. That is a lighthouse platform. At the moment, we have 153 lighthouses on that platform. And it gives us a future, a view into what manufacturing will look like.
And what are the challenges you've encountered with this and trying to make this happen? Are there any regulatory challenges or anything that poses a risk?
There are many challenges as we're embarking on that journey, and I would say we're still at the very beginning of this journey. It's leadership challenges, staying focused, like literally planning ROI back and connecting it to the business strategy, the entire change management that is needed to bring in these new ways of working that augment the frontline and the workforce. And it's literally, it is about modernizing the technology stack to allowing seamless and easy adoption. I think it's all about user adoption. So Gen AI is a big topic these days. I believe it will not bring so many new use cases, but it will make the user adoption and the user interface so much easier that we will see faster adoption.
So if it's not Gen AI, then what is not so much highlighted by the world today that is going to take its place?
I think it's like, look, the fun part of this is that probably manufacturing companies will be the biggest technology companies in the world because all these technologies are coming together on the shop floor, be it robotics, be it IoT, Gen AI, 3D printing, any kind of technology is coming together on the shop floor and needs to be put together to drive real kind of impact on the shop floor.
So your expertise spans various industries from technology to consumer goods. How do you approach implementing Industry 4.0 technologies differently across these sectors?
Excellent question. So we found that it doesn't matter really in which industry you are. That's why we set up the World Global Lighthouse Network with the World Economic Forum, industry agnostic. So we have lighthouses. A big portion comes from advanced industry, electronics industry, but then there's also a big set from consumer product group companies, the CPG, from life science, from process industry. So it's going across. I think the learning is really cross-industry. Of course, every industry, but even every factory and every company has different goals to achieve, be it agility, sustainability, quality, productivity, or workforce engagement. And as such, it always depends on what you want to achieve and how do you put that together.
Is there any memorable non-tech adoption of this that you can talk about today with a particular company, anything that comes to mind?
Well, I think there are many industries that I would not say tech industry. So you could say all the consumer good companies that are adopting it. We had one of the latest lighthouses comes from the beauty industry. We have lighthouses in terms of steel making. So any kind of manufacturing company is benefiting from the technology and how we are bringing the technology to improve sustainability, but also productivity or literally just kind of the workforce engagement.
So as the head of global operations technology at McKinsey & Company, what do you see as the biggest hurdles for companies transitioning from Industry 4.0 to Industry 5.0?
Couple of things. Number one, leadership, like really staying focused on what outcomes you want to drive and put the right use cases behind it. Number two is scaling. From the very get-go, think about how do you scale the use cases across the network. Number three is change management. How do you take your management along? And then how do you kind of get user adoption with your workforce? And then lastly, I think it's about modernizing the tech stack in a way that you're not running too fast ahead. You want to do this in a self-funding way, and you can do that. But you can also not wait until the very last minute to upgrade your technology.
And what advice would you give to companies who want to stay ahead of the curve in this next industrial revolution?
Learn. Learn from the Global Lighthouse Network. See what use cases have been successfully adopted, what return on investment they give. We have over 700 use cases that we are seeing used over and over again. 200 out of them are AI-powered. The returns are very attractive. Some of the use case bundles have a 10 times returns. On average, we see 3 to 5 times. There is no need anymore to do any kind of pilots and proof of concept. It's all about figuring from day one out, how do you scale this? How do you bring it across your network?
You said 200 of the use cases are AI-powered. What are the rest of them?
The majority of the use cases are simple digitizations of workflow. That's some. others are just connecting data and creating the transparency for faster decision making. Others are planning tools that allow us to better plan our inventories in the factories. Some of them need AI, some of them start with pure transparency and then later get AI introduced.
So you've been involved in both academia and industry with a background in mechanical engineering and a PhD in the field. How do you see the role of academia evolving in shaping the future of manufacturing at Industry 4.0?
The PhD is a couple of years now ago, but I'm still very connected to research and to academia. I would say bluntly, at the moment, we need to figure out the innovations that we have there. How do we adopt them and how do we bring them to work rather than trying to innovate something new? But to do that, I think there's a lot of research needed to figure out what is holding us back on user adoption. How can we simplifying user interfaces and how do we make literally technology work more seamless together? So that's where I believe the research can really help because it's all an adoption game.
And what do you think universities can do or research institutions can do to better prepare students for the demands of Industry 4.0 and beyond?
So I would say twofold. I think they have a really big mandate in terms of upskilling our new engineers, the next generation of engineers. They need to learn very different stuff than I have learned when I did my mechanical engineering studies. Now they need to understand robotics. They need to understand AI. They need to understand IoT. They need to understand how these things work together. They need to work with 3D printing. So all these technologies they need to understand, but they need to understand in a systems engineering mindset how they are coming together and how they are creating value. I think that's a huge upskilling that we need to do with our future engineers. I think there is a lot of inspiration needed that we bring more students into engineering classes. And then thirdly, I think, as we talked before, there is some research that still needs to happen to further drive adoption and user adoption.
So given your leadership role in McKinsey's technology ecosystem for Industry 4.0, could you elaborate on the key components of this ecosystem and how it supports clients in their digital transformation journeys?
Well, the key components are, from the get-go, we need the tech industry to come up with the right technology that's easy to use. I think that's part, and there's an entire technology stack that's needed. Secondly, I think we have the entire need for upskilling of the workforce, but also of the management that needs to happen that can either happen in the universities, but it also needs to happen literally on the job in the company. So there the private sector has to play a big role. And then we need to drive the digital transformation, and that's literally has to happen out of the private sector. Now, the public sector plays also an important role to bring in kind of the right boundaries and how do we use, for example, in a responsible way, Gen AI, how do we set the right boundaries with data privacy and things like cybersecurity? So it's a play of private, public sector, academia, technology companies that's coming together.
So let's pivot to what your typical day at work looks like. So you wake up in the morning and then?
I wake up in the morning, get a cup of coffee. Typically, I try to do a couple of the bigger problems I try to solve in the morning when I'm still fresh. Then after lunch, I'm doing the majority of my meetings. And then I try to do at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day, all the emails and all that stuff. And then it starts over again.
How many meetings would you say you handle per day on an average?
It's a wide variety. Sometimes it's 3 to 5 meetings. Sometimes it's 20 meetings. It really depends.
So you've emphasized the importance of creating supply chains that solve the triple equation of people plus planet plus profit. Can you discuss some strategies or approaches that companies can adopt to achieve this balance effectively?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting because back in the lean production days, there was kind of this question around whether you need to reduce your quality to have cost savings. And Deming came out with that and said that equation is flawed. It's really about you can have high quality and high productivity. I think today we're at a same point with the digitization. I think it's quite fun to see that you can be more productive and more sustainable and at the same time do something for the workforce. Because the digital technology below is literally kind of very similar. So the digital stack, but then if you put intelligently the use cases on top, you can literally achieve all of the three at once.
So in your experience, what are some common misconceptions or challenges companies face when trying to align profit motives with environmental and social responsibility in their supply chains?
I think there are no conflicts. I think you just need to figure out what for your business strategy is the right thing to do. And then I think what we have seen with many of our lighthouses, once you have built your digital capability, built your digital stack, and have started to innovate by putting these use cases to work, with a fraction of time and resources, you can literally put in sustainability use cases, then they can be highly competitive. So we encourage that to look in a very balanced way at use cases that drive productivity, output, agility, but also sustainability and workforce engagement.
Well, so the last question for you is of a personal kind again. What would you be doing in your life if not this?
I love this. I love factories and I wouldn't want to do anything else. I am Enno De Boer, senior partner at McKinsey, leading our global operations technology practice. Catch me on the Technology of the Month show.